Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
All right, talking about getting away, the great resignation, is it becoming the great regret? The rising costs of living globally is making consumers rethink resigning from their current positions, curbing the trend of the great resignation. And I thought this was very, very interesting. Global HR service company Randstad NV told Bloomberg that there are still some people resigning, but it's slowing down with consumer confidence and inflation, making people think twice before they jump on a six-week vacation before they have a new job. Professor Peter Bauer, he's an economist from the University of Johannesburg. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Very early, but very good. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what they say about the early bird and all sorts of things. So would you agree with this? Do you think that nervousness about the economy and about the future is perhaps making people a little bit more reticent with regard to resignations?
Yes, I do actually believe that very much. If we take a look at just your consumer confidence levels, which are definitely waning. Our households are experiencing a great deal of pressure, mostly due to the inflation and the high, driven by the high energy costs. So households are put under more pressure than what we actually used to. If you take a look at, like, for example, the European economies, or if you take a look at America, we actually seen, you know, that this kind of inflation is actually starting to cut into household savings. So for them to be able to get to the end of the month, whatever savings they have is being used up. And, of course, then the cost of living as well, food prices going up. And then, of course, you go look at the business sector too, because businesses are now also a little bit more cautious about who they hire and how they're going to be hiring people.
So it's such a fascinating thing, because you have this, it's almost like groupthink, isn't it? You had this whole group thing. They're saying, right, now off we need to go. We need to find new opportunities, and we can't. And then all of a sudden, people start holding back, and then everybody holds back. It's quite a strange story.
Yeah. Group dynamics are extremely important, and that has a spillover effect into the market. And of course, that's going to sort of as well. We can see a market performance. The degree of volatility that's actually happening in the markets is very much a clear case. And so the investors the people are seeking alternative investments. They're looking for places of security. Where do we put our money? Which markets are we going to go to? And everybody's very much affected right now, the emerging markets included. And if you just take a look at what's happening in Africa, especially the Horn of Africa, this current economic situation is having very large impacts on large communities too. And of course, we're picking that up as a society. So group dynamics are definitely something which we need to build into the equation. It's a very interesting concept.
The other thing worth bearing in mind, I would imagine, for somebody looking to jump ship or to change to a new organization, is that if that organization needs to consolidate or retract or somehow slow down, it's the new people who are most vulnerable, not the people that have been around for some time. So as a new employee, you do put yourself in a vulnerable position.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, there are a number of factors that we need to look at. Like, for example, the person whose job is changing, what is their level of skill, how specialized are they? Yeah, are they? How much flexibility do they have? In an economy like South Africa, the very high skilled, the very scarce skilled people can still sort of have a small degree of flexibility here. But for a very large portion of the population, this becomes a very serious concern, because with the economies, I mean, we're talking now the European Union with that energy issue and the cutting off of the gas. We're looking at, rumors coming out again about possible recession taking place. So households need to really sort of like hold on to what they've got. Mm. And businesses themselves, in order to survive through this period of time, they might need to be looking at cost cutting as well. And one of the key factors they look at is labor. Who do we employ? And experience, like how long have our workers worked for us? So yeah, our last in, first out seems to be a very common trend. Mm.
Yeah, it's. Can you help me define what a recession actually means? Because it's a word that's bandied about very, very easily And we use it almost as though it's just means, you know, things are going to get a little bit tougher. But what does a country being in a recession mean?
Yeah, this is actually, it's a very, very serious topic. We're looking at an economy where you have literally your negative growth taking place for a long period of time. So economies are slowing down over a period of time. So what that translates to is like your markets are not more available. Businesses are not trading as much as they used to. Trade slows down, and the indicators are often pointing towards this. And it often gets confused, like what we saw with the Great Depression of between 1929 and 1933, especially in America, where there was this rapid slowdown. The banking system literally collapsed, and you suddenly have millions of jobs are suddenly lost. And it has an incredible, shall we say, a contagious effect. So large economies go into this negative economic growth for a long period of time. And over that period of time, you start seeing that countries around that rely on them, like South Africa, large trade partners, European Union, Germany, America, China, these are very big economies for us. So we're trading with them. So when they slow down, we don't trade as much. And that is, of course, then impacting on our businesses. And so the frightening part about a recession is if an economy goes into that negative growth, the trade between us and them gets very much affected. And that spillover effect goes through the economy, affecting upstream and downstream businesses in the same way.
And how many quarters does a country need to go into negative economic growth in order for it to be considered to be in a recession?
Well, technically, you know, there are some clear-cut definitions. We're looking at normally about 2 to 3 quarters. But what we're seeing is that it's that overarching impact. So it's not just like a negative growth. Now we're in a recession. This has to be a persistent kind of situation. It's kind of different from an economic shock, where an economy sort of like something may happen and the economy then sort of goes into a negative growth but then recovers. We're talking about something that can last for a very long time. Again, back to the Great Depression, 1929, that economy stayed in a negative growth literally before it started recovering again. We were looking at, let's say, about 3 years until America started coming out a huge fiscal policy to stimulate it.
And in terms of South African growth, I know the first part of the year we did start to see some form of improvement with load shedding, Eskom, and the fact that businesses are particularly curtailed. Add the European war to the situation. What can we expect for the second half of this year?
Yeah, I'm kind of optimistic, and I'm really hoping that given our latest presentation by our president when he announced, so there are active steps going to address this energy crisis, and hopefully, you know, that might re-encourage investors. But I think investors are rather shy in the moment of many of these markets. I think globally, everybody's very, very nervous. So laying out capital for investment into other regions is going to have, like, you know, serious. So they're going to be concerned about this. So when we're looking at going forward in terms of growth, much of our growth is going to depend on how other countries are going to be recovering from this. And in the moment, looking at the situation in the European Union, things are not looking great for us. And so that's obviously going to have a negative impact on both these sort of like investor confidence. We're going to have a negative impact in terms of business confidence. And of course, so looking forward, you know, it's not looking promising.
Yeah, so it's not looking promising there globally, but you're saying in terms of the announcement that the president made on Monday evening that we should start to see some real improvements here in South Africa.
Yeah, you know, especially when it comes to, like, for example, like credit ratings. Are we behaving appropriately in terms of monetary policy? For example, the kind of restrictions they want to put in place. So yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a possibility.
If you'll excuse that expression, right?
establishing again confidence.
Right, light at the end of a tunnel. That's exactly all South Africans want, is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. It is what is interesting to me, and I wrote an article for News 24 yesterday, that I was away this week, and I was running a session with quite a lot of people in the business sector, and following the Monday night announcement, which I thought was very, very important by the president, and probably the most significant announcement we've seen in a while, I asked people around the table, and there must have been about 12 people from all over, and I asked them what they thought of it, and not one person had watched it. Not one person even knew what it was about, and these were people in the business sector. And that did bother me, that I believe we're a little fatigued in terms of what our president has to say. That said, it doesn't mean that it can't be actioned, and once we start seeing action and difference, then people will be a little bit more interested.
Yes, and especially if you take a look at like how long this problem has persisted, one of the points that the president made was like, you know, the last time we had really built a power station was over 30 odd years ago, and you know, with continuous growth, we should be seeing renewal of institutions, energy producers are going continuously, and we've negated a lot of this, and I think businesses are taking a lot of strain. Businesses are very despondent, and we see that in the business confidence index, and we're also seeing that in the purchasing managers index as well, where we're actually seeing, you know, they're still positive, but they're starting to wane, and this is again translating into back, as we mentioned earlier, with our group dynamics. This is definitely going to have a broader influence in our economy right now. And I think we just need to take every possible step to ensure the global investment market, that we are like taking really serious steps in terms of protecting the value of the rand and protecting our economy.
Professor Peter Bauer, economist from the University of Johannesburg, started talking to us about the Great Resignation turning into the Great Regret, and then we moved on to the South African economy. It is 7:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.